Reading from the New Testament, the Gospel of John, the 8th chapter, I'm going to read verses 48 through 59. And I want you to listen, boys and girls, and big boys and girls, when you hear God's name, you're going to hear God's name again in this passage in the New Testament. So I encourage you to pay attention for that. John 8:48. Listen to God's word. Some of the Jewish leaders answered Jesus, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Very truly, I tell you, whoever keeps my word will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say, whoever keeps my word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? Who do you claim to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, he of whom you say he is our God, though you do not know him, but I know him. If I would say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your ancestor Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." Then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. The word of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray, amen. Joel Osteen, who is a very popular TV preacher and book writer, has a new book coming out in October, I believe, October 6th. It is due out, and it is entitled this, "The Power of I Am." Subtitle, two words that will change your life today. And here's a blurb if you go on, I go on Barnes & Noble to look at books, and it says this on the Barnes & Noble site. "Transform your destiny by changing what you say about yourself." This is a direct quote. "I am." What follows these two words will determine the course of your life. When you speak about yourself, what do you say? The direction you'll follow in life begins with these two simple words. If you have a powerful I am, you will carry yourself with a quiet confidence. It's true I can't read my own handwriting. It's time to stop criticizing yourself and instead discover your inner strengths, your natural talents and unique abilities that will make you prosper with self-assurance and success. With insightful advice, encouragement, and a list of I ams to declare every day, the power of I am will transform you and your self-image. It'll help you invite the right things into your life and redirect your life's course onto the road of confidence, assurance, and success. End of quote. If you know anything about Joel Osteen, you'll know that this is just right up his alley. Everything he preaches, everything he writes is about how empowered you can be and that's what God wants for your life, wants you to have. This is similar to Norman Vincent Peale, The Power of Positive Thinking, and then Robert Schuller, who talked about possibility thinking. All those kinds of, these preachers have a line of a tradition that are really very simple. It's kind of, we call it the gospel of health and wealth. And it is exactly opposite of the way Scripture uses those words, I am. It's not about your power. It's not about my power and what, unfortunately, these kinds of emphasis take away. It's about the power of God. The power of God. For I am not I am. But as we heard read from the book of Exodus, and as we looked at last week, the name by which God is revealed to God's people is that word, I am. And you may remember some of the things we talked about it last week. It's not even a noun. It's a verb. And it's so hard to capture what that means. It's for most of us, when we have this idea that God is just this kind of cosmic Santa Claus who wants to bless us and give us good stuff all the time, it's not that he doesn't want to bless us. It's not that God doesn't want good for our lives, but God is so much more. And we do such a disservice to God when we think we have God in a box, when we have captured God, when we have understood God, when we judge God by our standards. We don't have a clue of what it must have been like for Moses to encounter the God who says, I am, is God's name. The New Testament tells us that no one has ever seen God. God's a spirit. God's a verb. But Jesus Christ, God the only Son, who is in the Father's heart, or who has the Father's heart, he has made him known. That's John 1, verse 18. In the Gospel of John, we get the clearest picture in the New Testament, and we get it over and over and over again, of just who Jesus claimed to be. First of all, it's through Jesus that we know God. So last week we talked about these personal pronouns, God he, God she. How do we, God is a spirit, yet it says he in the Westminster Confession. Well, if you care about such things, and frankly, not everybody does. We're very comfortable. I try sometimes. I slip. The language of God, he, just comes naturally. It's probably not going to change in our lifetimes because we're so conditioned. But some people really do try to not say God, he, unless they're saying God, she, which is also okay, I guess. If you can say he, I guess you can say she. But what we can definitely say is that we know God because Jesus called God Father. And so it's all right for us to call God Father. In fact, one of the last confession in our book of confessions as Presbyterians, it's called A Brief Statement of Faith, and it comes from the 1980s. It says this: we trust in God, whom Jesus called Abba, Father. We trust in God, whom Jesus called Abba, Father. And since we trust in God, whom Jesus called Abba, Father, then the confession also says, like a mother who will not forsake her nursing child, like a father who runs to welcome the prodigal home, God is faithful still. We trust in God, and we trust that we can know God, and whatever we understand about God, we know and understand because of Jesus Christ, who called God Abba, Father, and who taught us when we pray to call God Father. Sometimes Jesus said some things about himself that were very, very difficult for people to understand. When he is about to be arrested, as he's coming out of the Garden of Gethsemane on the night he's betrayed, this is in John chapter 18. We get a very curious incident of what takes place. Judas brought the detachment of soldiers together. This is the early verses of chapter 18. With police from the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that was to happen to him, came forward and asked them, "Whom are you looking for?" They answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." Now listen to what Jesus says, and listen to their reaction. Jesus replied, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them, and when Jesus said to them, I am he, they stepped backwards and fell to the ground. Yeah, right there, it says it. John 18:6, when Jesus said to them, "I am he," they stepped back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, "Whom are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you are looking for me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "I did not lose a single one of those whom you gave me. I am he. I am he." Three times. And did you note their response? They fell back almost like a force had come against them, and they fell to the ground. Why? This phrase, "I am he," is exactly like Jesus saying, "I am." You can read that on the notes at the bottom of your Bible. It's the same. It's only two words in Greek: "ego eimi," I am. I am he. I am he is a title and a name that grows out of the name that God revealed to Moses on Mount Horeb, which is Mount Sinai, out of the burning bush, the bush that was burning and not consumed, when God said, "My name for all time is I am." It can also be translated, "I am he." I'm the one who exists. And Jesus used that name for himself. I am he. It's not the first time in the gospel he uses it. When he's talking to the woman at the well, they start talking about the Messiah, and she starts going on about what theology she knows, and then Jesus says to her, "I am he standing in your midst. I'm God's Messiah." He uses God's name, and then in the most dramatic words that in some ways that Jesus says in all of what Jesus says in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John, he twice earlier in verses 24 and verses 28 uses this phrase again for himself. Verse 24 says this of chapter 8, "I told you that you would die in your sins, for you will die in your sins unless you believe that I am he." They said to him, "Who are you?" And Jesus said to them, "Why do I speak to you at all?" And then you go down to verse 28. Verse 27 says, they did not understand that he was speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will realize that I am he." When Jesus is lifted up, he says, "You're going to know who I am." unless you believe that I am who I am, that I am He, your sins are never going to be forgiven. And then we get this discussion about Abraham at the end of the chapter. They said to him, basically they said, is it all right with you if we say you're a Samaritan and you have a demon? It's like saying, look, is it all right if we just, you know, for the sake of discussion, go with the assumption that you're insane? Is that okay? You know, in trying to establish a conversation. That's basically what they're saying. And he says, No, I'm not. I'm just doing what my father wants me to do. And then somehow Abraham is brought up. It's in verse 56. Jesus says, your ancestor Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. Now, what's wrong with that scenario? Well, Abraham lived hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus. Abraham lived, remember, before Moses. Abraham's way back there. And yet Jesus says that Abraham looked forward to me, to my day. And when he saw it, he rejoiced. Wow. I mean, it would take a while to unpack that. Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness, and the whole thing with Isaac and the sacrifice, and, you know, God's going to provide the all that stuff is tied in here. But basically, we got to hear what Jesus is saying, and then their response to it. And then because after it, they say, then the Jews said to him, verse 57, you're not yet 50 years old. That's kind of like the, you know, 65. You know, you're not yet totally mature. And have you seen Abraham? In some way of phrasing that, has Abraham seen you? It can go either way in the language. And Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, before Abraham was, before Abraham was born, before Abraham ever existed, Jesus says, I was, doesn't he? Jesus is claiming that his being pre-exists the being of Abraham. Now, it can't be his human, because we know when the human Jesus of Nazareth was born. He was born on Christmas. We have a holiday about that. So somehow or other, he's claiming that his existence pre-exists the existence of Abraham, right? Man, if you settle for that, you've settled for way too little. Because he's saying so much more. He doesn't say, before Abraham was, I was. Mm-mm. Read it. Before Abraham was, ego a me, I am. I am he. Same words. I am. Moses, what's your name, God? Who do I tell the children of Israel has sent me to them? What's your name? What do I tell them? God says, I am who I am. I am. Tell them I am has sent you. And what was their reaction? Did they fall back in fear and trembling and fall to the ground? the way the guards in at the Garden of Gethsemane who came to arrest Jesus did? No, they didn't do that. What did they do? They picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. They picked up stones to kill him because they heard what he said. Because they understood what he claimed. And they thought it was blasphemous. He not only claimed to pre-exist Abraham, he used God's name for himself. And they wanted to kill him. C.S. Lewis says this about that passage. Let me see if I can find it. C.S. Lewis says this. He begins it by saying, he, meaning Jesus, says again, I am the begotten one of God. Before Abraham was, I am. And remember, says Lewis, what the words I am were in Hebrew. They were the name of God, which must not be spoken by any human being, the name which it was death to utter. If you had gone to Buddha and asked him, are you the son of Brahman? He would have said, my son, you're still in the veil of illusion. If you had gone to Socrates and asked, are you Zeus? He would have laughed at you. If you had gone to Muhammad and asked, are you Allah? He would first have rent his clothes and then cut your head off. If you had asked Confucius, are you heaven? I think he would have probably replied, remarks which are not in accordance with nature are in bad taste. The idea of a great moral teacher saying what Christ said is out of the question. In my opinion, the only person who can say that sort of thing is either God or a complete lunatic. Suffering from that form of delusion which undermines the whole mind of man. He was never regarded as a moral teacher, as a mere moral teacher. He did not produce that effect on people who actually met him. He produced mainly three effects: hatred, terror, or adoration. There was no trace of people expressing mild approval of Jesus. And then in another place, this fame in Mere Christianity, this one of the best known passages of Lewis's nonfiction, it says this: I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level of a man who says he's a poached egg, or he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. If anybody ever tells you that Jesus never claimed to be God, they're wrong. Jesus made his claim so clear and was understood so clearly of making that claim that people were either terrified of him or they wanted what they eventually did do. Was to kill him. For the rest of the summer, starting in July with Reverend Suzanne Schaefer Coates, and then when I'm back in August, we're going to look at some other things that Jesus said about himself. And although it may not be generally understood, in the scholarship, it's very, very clear. It's not even debatable that these things Jesus claims about himself are related to this claim that he makes in John 8:58, where he says, "Before Abraham was, I am." Because there are seven times, which we know by John's writing is no accident, throughout the Gospel of John, and so throughout the summer, where Jesus says something about himself by prefacing it with, "I am." Now, again, you know these sayings. "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the door, the sheep gate. I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the resurrection and the life." And I forgot one. "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am..." Okay, I got to look it up. It's driving me nuts. I know these. Why am I faltering? Oh, it's "I am the vine." And that's one I'm going to preach on. "I am the vine." Those seven. "I am the vine. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. I am the light." And you got the seven. You can look. I can't do it again. That's why I need a vacation. All right, so the point is this. These last 2 weeks, I've been introducing this series that's going to go beyond the summer. And what we need to realize is that these claims are not just images and metaphors that Jesus uses to describe some aspects of his ministry, but they go to the very heart of who he claims to be by invoking the very name that God, by which God revealed God's self, himself, herself, to Moses. And should be a good summer. He is the I Am. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.